You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
So, welcome along once again. This is Stuart Launday and...
Jane Woodward.
With Talking Teesdale. Welcome. Nice to see you again, Jane. Are you sitting comfortably?
I'm sitting very comfortably.
I mean...
Yeah, I've got a really nice... comfortable swivelly chair.
I know. I don't know how that happened.
I must have done something to deserve it.
I mean, your demands are getting worse. To actually get you upstairs ready to record this, I've had to ply you with good coffee.
Oh, only the best.
Cake.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And biscuits.
Yes, yes. And cake and biscuits.
So you're fully fueled and ready to go.
I am, yes.
Oh, busy old show this week. Do you do much in the volunteer? I'm guessing you're a bit busy for volunteering.
Yes. Well, I do work full time at the Witham, but I would say I probably go over my hours. So that's my contribution.
Hmm.
That's my contribution.
I was pretty much the same until I packed in the paper, and a whole new world of volunteering has opened up.
So what do you do?
Canals. Lock keeping.
And what do you do as a volunteer lock keeper?
Work on my suntan. As I mentioned, the reason we're talking about this is the week after next, it's Volunteers Week. And one of our guests this week is Annalisa Ward, who is coordinating all the various activities that are going on around Teesdale for Volunteers Week. And when you hear about our chat, you'll understand that my efforts towards volunteering have basically given me a nice tan by opening and closing locks near Skipton.
Sounds fabulous.
I've never looked as healthy.
I know. You look great.
You see, and sadly, you still look pasty white.
I don't get out much, Stuart.
from sitting in that windowless office.
Yes, I don't get out much. Really sad.
So we've got a nice chat with Annalisa coming up, and then after that we meet the new editor, my successor, in fact, at the Teesdale Mercury.
Ah, and how was that?
That was very interesting. Nice chap, Alan Formby Jackson is his name. You'll find out a little bit more about him, and we'll be chatting to another chap from the Mercury who's hanging up. Well, we were trying to work out what he would hang up after 45 years, because it's not really an industry in which you hang anything up now. So he's
his pen?
He's just logging off for the final time.
Logging off.
So we'll be having a bit of chat with David Croom, who's the studio manager there.
Ah. Did it make you want to go back?
No.
That was a very quick answer.
Absolutely not.
What about volunteering? Can you volunteer on the paper?
Absolutely not. So plenty coming up. And you'll be back a bit later on. And we've got something quite interesting that starts later in the year.
Yes, we do.
So with that teaser, we'll sign off for now and we'll be back in a little bit.
All right.
So it's on with the show. Many organisations across Teesdale rely on the efforts of an army of volunteers. And those efforts are being highlighted and celebrated in Volunteers Week, which takes place from June the 2nd to June the 8th. Coordinating Volunteers Week activities here in Teesdale is Annalisa Ward, and I met up with her a couple of days ago to find out more. Annalisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, yes. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to talk about volunteering. It's so important.
It's fair to say, I think, that Teesdale couldn't exist as it does without volunteers.
It certainly couldn't, and I'm currently, as part of the lead-up to Volunteers Week, gathering information on how many volunteers. So far, 15 organisations have replied, and there's nearly 500 volunteers between them. So that just shows how many people are helping, but how many are needed, and quite a lot of those organisations are still saying to me, we need more volunteers.
I think everywhere you go, that's the key message from everywhere, from the charity shops on the high street to places like the Witham, which you think are a big organisation, but again, they rely hugely on volunteers. Yeah. So is Volunteering Week as much an exercise in celebrating what volunteers do as well as trying to encourage more to come forward?
Yeah, I would say it's the biggest majority of it is all about celebrating and saying thank you. You know, these people help to deliver services that without them probably wouldn't able to be delivered. And they're important things, be they lunch clubs, for older people who are coming out once a week to the Witham, where there's entertainment and shows that they can enjoy, or places like the Bowes Museum or Raby Castle, where people can enjoy the heritage of our local area and be shown round by some of these volunteers.
So what sort of things are going on during Volunteering Week?
Well, we've got a market stall on Wednesday, the 4th of June. There'll be myself, and I'll be joined by some of the volunteers from different organisations. If you're a volunteer, pop along and say hello. We've got a selfie frame, so we'll take a photo and celebrate you. Post it on our new Volunteering in Teesdale Facebook page. But other organisations will be doing things. So, for example, on Tuesday, the 3rd of June, there's a volunteering open day at the Bowes Museum. And Raby are doing some volunteer drop-ins on the 4th and 6th of June, so you can find out about volunteering with them. Both of those, I think, you need to book, so you need to go along to their websites. And I'm sure there'll be, I'm sort of gathering information still, other events happening. Quite a lot of people last year had an afternoon tea or did something to thank their volunteers.
You mentioned that there is a new presence on social media, on Facebook. What's the idea behind that?
It's really just to show people what the opportunities are. So I've got a sort of paper copy of adverts, almost like job adverts, that I've gathered in from all the organisations. But I'll be sharing those on Facebook as well, so that might be more accessible to some people. But the paper copy is still available. You can pick that up in the library. The social media page is to promote volunteering, to thank volunteers, and also to share information about what the benefits of volunteering are. So whether you've maybe just retired and you're looking for something to do and to build new social contacts, then volunteering could be for you. If you're a younger person, then maybe you're looking to change jobs and you want to build some new skills to get into a different industry, or you could even be trying to get into university. I know that you have to build sort of quite a portfolio these days to sell yourself to universities, or if you're doing something like Duke of Edinburgh. So we'll be covering all those different bases. We'll have information from the organisations looking for volunteers, and hopefully little case studies of people who volunteer, finding out why they do it. I think the biggest reason people do it is they want to give something back to their local community.
I'm guessing, and this is a pure guess, it's nothing scientific, but I'm guessing that the vast majority of people who volunteer are of a certain more older demographic, say.
They are. I got some figures for sort of 21, 22, where nationally they looked at this sort of age range, and most of people are 65 plus, and the fewest number of area where people are volunteering is sort of 25 plus. So yes, we need to also find out, I guess, the barriers. They might be busy with other things, but maybe a lot of these organisations would be quite happy to just have an odd hour. You don't have to do something on a regular basis. And as I said, there's some really good benefits to learning new skills that might help you in your career.
I think it's fair to say that when you're a bit younger, there's a lot more going on, especially if you've got family commitments and that sort of thing. But like you say, the odd hour here and there can be the difference between, say, a charity shop being open and a charity shop having to close up for half the day and things like that, you know. So
definitely, I think every little bit helps, as they say. And also, it supports the economy. They reckon that volunteers actually contribute something like 18 billion. So about 0.8% of GDP, but still, that's quite a big figure.
So it's when you volunteer, then you're obviously part of a much, much bigger picture.
You are, yes. And the other sort of other interesting facts are the top reasons for people actually volunteering are things like increased happiness and improved mental health. So it's good for you. It's good for you as well. Good for the community and good for you as an individual.
Well, it's certainly helped me top up my tan this past few weeks, because I volunteered down on the Leeds and Liverpool Canal near Skipton, and the weather's been fantastic. So I'm looking as healthy as I've looked for about 30 years.
Yeah, well, certainly in Teesdale, we've got a variety of opportunities. So you might have seen a group of people tending to the flower pots and beds around the town. That's a group called the Workers. So they're outside rolling the sleeves up. You too could get a Teesdale tan, especially at the minute.
Annalisa, thanks ever so much for joining us. And if there's anybody out there who wants to volunteer, what's the best way of going about it, would you think?
Well, for a start, if you want to pop down, because it's only the week after next, to the market stall on Wednesday the 4th of June. Otherwise, have a look on Facebook and like and follow our Volunteering in Teesdale page, or contact any of the organisations that you know might be looking for volunteers. There's plenty of them in Teesdale.
Brilliant. Thanks, Annalisa.
You're listening to Talking Teesdale.
And a reminder that you can find out more by searching for Volunteering in Teesdale on Facebook, or you can drop by the charity stall at Barnard Castle's Wednesday market on June the 4th. Now to the Teesdale Mercury, which has been reporting the news across Teesdale for the past 170 years. It's been all change at the paper just recently, with the arrival of new editor Alan Formby-Jackson and the retirement after 45 years of studio manager David Croom. I caught up with them both this week, starting with new editor Alan.
Alan, how are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Not so bad. Now, for full transparency, I should probably mention that for those who don't know, I used to be editor of the Teesdale Mercury, and Alan is my successor. So you can put right everything that I did wrong.
Trying my best already.
So it's probably, you probably just tell us a little bit about your background in newspapers and journalism.
Right, okay. Yeah, it started back in around the mid-90s. My first job was at the what was the Evening Chronicle in Newcastle. I started out on the design side of things, really design and production side. I then moved, after meeting my now wife, I moved down to Middlesbrough on Teesside and worked for the Evening Gazette. Over the years, I've had loads of different roles. As newspapers kind of progress, and when the internet arrived, I think one job title was a multimedia desk editor, whatever that was back in the day. But it was kind of then moved into the kind of sub-editing role and kind of working on things like that. And then for about the last kind of 9 or 10 years, I was with the company that owned the Gazette. I worked like for the group, so for the wider group, and was part of a new unit called the Shared Content Unit, which mainly dealt with stuff that was non-local news and features and things like that. And then, after about 8 or 9 years of that, I got a bit bored of doing the same thing over and over again. So I took a voluntary redundancy, had a job at a marketing firm just outside Leeds for about a year. And that was mainly working on sports publications, mainly golf publications. So that was really good. But
that's quite handy, as we're just sat about 100 yards from the first tee at Barney Golf Club.
Yes, that was good. I mean, I don't play. I used to play a bit of golf, but I haven't played for a while. But I did think if I wanted to get back into it, then it's very easy just to go for a quick 9 holes maybe or something like that. So after that, so for about the last probably about 14 or 15 months, I worked for a company called NewsQuest. Most readers will know the Northern Echo, which is owned by NewsQuest, which obviously covers the Northeast, where I was a print production manager. It was mainly for their newspapers in the South. So that was Hampshire, Dorset, Isle of Wight, papers like that. And then obviously had a good chat with you about the job that was becoming available here. And it was just a good opportunity, too good an opportunity to turn down. And
it's kind of a chance to get back into what I would call sort of proper local newspapers, really, because you've been like you say, you've been doing the jobs that you've had most recently, you've had a much wider remit, so this is kind of getting back to the roots.
Absolutely. And it's I think a lot of the bigger newspaper companies, if you speak to any of the editors there, I'm sure they won't mind me saying that they usually have more than one newspaper they're looking after these days. And I think it's a shame, really, and it's hard work, and it's a lot to juggle. And I think the attraction of working on one newspaper and trying to concentrate on making that the best it can be was a really good thing that kind of drew me in, really. Obviously, it's only a small team. It's obviously a small paper, but obviously it's big on community, and that's kind of one of the things we want to try and drive forward, really.
So you're obviously aware of Barnard Castle, the surrounding villages in the area, and aware of the Teesdale Mercury. But now that you're actually on the patch, what's the sort of first impressions?
Well, everybody's very friendly. I've tried to make a point of already speaking to a few people of note, shall we say. And, you know, it's people have been very open to the fact that obviously a lot of people know the Mercury's here. And obviously, I think most people will be aware of some of the trials and tribulations the Mercury itself has been through over the past few years. And I think that's one of the things, you know, we want to try and kind of move forward from that and try and build the paper back up again, maybe make it a bit thicker and get some more news in it. And kind of doing that requires good relationships with the community. So like certainly the people that I've met so far have all been very kind, helpful. And, you know, as long as that continues, then I think it'll be great. You know, it's just one of the things we want to do is, you know, the more people we can get in the paper and the different stories that they've all got about what's going on in the area, it's, the more the better, really. But, yeah, it's been good so far.
I mean, I agree entirely with everything that you've said. I mean, it was, there was a certain amount of upheaval over the last 6-8 months or something like that. But now, I mean, I think the last thing I wrote in the paper was about the chance, you know, it's sort of a new start for the paper now. We've obviously been through the sale and everything. There's new owners. There's a new office. So it's perhaps a good time for a new person to come in.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think coming from where I've, you know, the last job that I had, where it was very full on and it was just about getting pages out, it's I've got a desire to try and, I suppose, think about it as a whole product now. So you're not just dealing with readers, you're dealing with advertisers, you're dealing with, you know, is obviously your own staff members and contributors and people like that. So it's the whole package now,
And you're kind of at the centre of it.
Yeah, and that's nice. I think obviously, you know, I mean, I've led teams before in various ways within newspapers, but so to be editor of an actual paper is obviously a privilege. I mean, first and foremost, it's great to be able to kind of represent the people of the area, people of Teesdale, and it's hopefully it's a role I have for many years to come.
Well, I mean, you're a week and a bit in. So
I'm off.
That's it. But no, I think that, you know, the one thing I know about this place is that people will be rooting for you, and people are very supportive of the paper and they want to see it do well. So wish you every success.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
So as the Mercury welcomes its new editor, Alan Formby-Jackson, it also says goodbye to one of its longest-serving employees. David Croom is hanging up. What are you hanging up exactly after 45 years? Well, I don't suppose there is anything to hang up these days.
There isn't a lot. No, I suppose...
you'll be logging off for the final time.
I suppose I'll be logging off, yeah, and putting my computer to bed for the last time.
David started at the Mercury as an apprentice back in the late 70s when the paper was produced using the hot metal production style. And he'll explain what that is because I don't know it. So just explain what the paper setup was when you arrived.
When I first arrived, we were hot metal, which is basically lead melted down and cast into lines on a liner-type machine. The headlines were still set by hand. So each individual character was set because the linotypes didn't actually produce letters that large. So that was one of my jobs, that was to set the headlines. And that was basically the same way printing had been done since Caxton's day.
Yeah, and it's fair to say that these past 4, 5, 6 decades, there's never been a change like it in the industry, has there, really?
No, I think I just caught the last few years of the hot metal era. Then we moved into paste up, and then it was, for a brief while, photo type setting, which didn't last very long at all. And then desktop computers came along, and we've been using something along those lines for the last 25 years.
Yeah, and it's fair to say you've sort of, a lot of people are resistant to change, but anybody associated with newspapers kind of had to embrace it, really.
Yes, if you wanted to stay relevant in the industry, you had to go with the times, basically.
And you'll anybody who knows David will know he's a stalwart of the print and press down the back of the down the back of the Mercury. There wasn't many like it.
No, it used to get called Black Beauty. I think it was built in the 1960s. We didn't get it from new. I think we probably got it sometime in the 1980s. And yeah, it was a one-off, and there was a certain affection for it by like calling it Black Beauty.
And whatever happened to the printing press? It disappeared off somewhere.
Yes, most of our old printing equipment went abroad. I think it may have gone to Sri Lanka. It was very old when we got rid of it, but I think sort of Sri Lanka probably wasn't as up to date with the newest technology, although even they may have thought it was old when they got it.
And of course you were with the paper as well when it finally embraced colour.
Yes, that was a big thing because our print works wasn't able to print colour, our presses weren't capable of it. So at that point we had to outsource the printing to a larger newspaper printers. It was a sad time. We'd printed our own newspaper since 1854 on the premises in Market Place. So it was quite sad, but it was a sign of the times. We had to move on. We couldn't continue in black and white forever.
Looking back over your career, what would you say? Do you prefer the old days when it was much more of a sort of an industrial factory type of production, or these days where you basically sat behind a computer?
I think certainly these days it's easier. It was more manual in those days. It was basically like working in a factory. It was quite heavy work, and the linotypes were quite smelly. So a nice modern Apple Mac computer, I would say, probably beats that.
And plans for the retirement? You're a bit of a local historian.
Yes, I enjoy the local history. I go back through the Tees and Mercury archives fairly regularly, looking for stories that might be of interest, not just to me, but to the general Teesdale public. And if I can find any, I shall continue to send pages into the Mercury and hopefully get them published.
Excellent stuff. Well, David, we wish you all the very best with the retirement, and well done on 45 years. Sounds like a long time, doesn't it?
It is a long time. Sometimes it feels longer than others.
Cheers, David.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talking Teesdale.
So it's time to have a look at what's coming up in the next week or so. Jane's back. Hello.
Hello.
Had a little doze while we were...
Yeah, just a little bit of a snooze. This chair's so comfortable.
That's all right. Good. You see, you're well looked after here.
I am. Long may it continue.
Now, before we get on to what's coming up in the next few days, a bit of something that's coming up or starts later in the year, the 2025-26 season of Royal Opera House screenings. And there's one or two goodies in amongst this, so you tell me.
Yes, they have just announced the season, and we've got 8 productions. I think we've got 4 operas and 4 ballets starting in October. So I think 21st of October is the first one, and it's a live screening from the Met in New York.
Blimey.
And I don't think we've ever had that before.
No, it must be a matinee or something from over there. It's about 5 hours difference, I think. They're 5 hours
well,
behind.
It starts the normal usual time, so I'm not exactly sure how they do it.
Oh, well, interesting to see.
Yeah, it will. I think that's La Sonnambula. I don't know if I've pronounced that right. I don't know a lot about opera.
Me neither. You're getting blank looks from over here.
Okay. But I do know a bit more about ballet.
I was going to say, there's quite a big thing for ballet lovers, isn't there?
There is. So we've got The Nutcracker coming on Wednesday the 10th of December, which we've wanted to have for quite a number of years. I think we might have had it in the past, but we haven't had it recently because it always falls when the panto is here. But this year, we've managed to get it.
Got a date. Excellent stuff.
So that will be screened live.
So opera and ballet fans, tickets will be on sale now, are they?
Yes, they are.
Excellent. Get your tickets in early and book your seat for one of those screenings. Sounds yep. Excellent. So coming up in the next few days, next Thursday, the 29th, we have a film, The Brutalist.
We do, and I think we spoke about this last week, Stuart. This is the Oscar winner.
That's the one.
With Adrian Brody, who plays a post-war architect.
That's it. So it's just a fiver. The film's played with subtitles.
Yes.
Which are always popular amongst our cinema goers here.
They are, yes.
So get yourself along to that. And then also the same night, Thursday the 29th, a bit of comedy, a bit of preview comedy from a couple of guys that are going up to Edinburgh.
Yes, that's right, in our Witham room. Sam Nicoresti and James Tricky.
Yeah, not names that I know, but I've been around long enough to trust Peter Dixon, the promoter, that when he brings a couple of comedians that you might not have heard of before, that they're going to be good quality. So
they will be. It'll be a good night.
It'll be a good little night upstairs in the Witham room. Intimate.
Yes, intimate, yes.
Excellent. Couple more films. Again, we mentioned them last week. There's still one or two tickets left. You said something to me about Peppa Pig before, and it's just, it means nothing to me.
Peppa Meets the Baby cinema experience. Well, it's been all over the news, Stuart.
I'm sure
it has. The big celebration of the baby. The baby's arrived. Baby girl.
I'm still looking blank.
Baby girl pig called Evie.
Very good.
So that is on Friday the 30th and Saturday the 31st of May at 11 o'clock.
And I'm sure it'll be very busy as well from people who know about that sort of thing. Yes. We've also got Minecraft as well.
A Minecraft movie, Saturday the 31st of May at 2 o'clock.
Which again is something I know nothing about. It's a game, apparently.
It's a game, yes. Well, find all about it, Stuart.
I will do.
Come along to that.
And then we're into June. Good heavens, we're into June already.
I know.
More comedy. This is a chap who's been before. I recognise his name. Simon Evans.
Yes. Have we met?
The title of his show, yes. Well, indeed we have, because he's been before. So he'll be popular. And then you look, actually, I know you've had your hair cut and everything.
Yeah.
But you look to me as if you like a bit of Bon Jovi on the quiet.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
I can see you rocking out.
Rocking
in the
away.
Night.
Rocking bit out of air in guitar.
Yeah, exactly. So if that's your thing, we've got Bon Jovi forever.
Yes. Tribute, Friday the 6th of June at 7:30.
Have I told you about the Bon Jovi tribute I once saw?
No.
Years ago, when I worked abroad, some promoter put on an evening. It was like a little day-long festival thing of tribute bands. So you had, instead of AC/DC, you had ABCD.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, yeah.
There was a Motorhead tribute band as well. And there was a band from Yorkshire doing a Bon Jovi tribute.
Right.
Called By Jovi. And they were really good.
Were they?
So Bon Jovi Forever has a lot to live up to.
Okay, right. Well, we'll see.
So that's on Friday the 6th.
Yep.
And then if soul's your stuff, if that's your bag, we've got a modern and northern soul night the following night.
We have Saturday the 7th of June from 5:30 until late.
Yeah.
And there'll be four or five DJs that will do a set each, and the bar will be open throughout.
Yeah, I think when we dipped our toe into the Northern Soul scene last year, it seemed to go quite well.
It did, yeah, it did. So hopefully people will come back, and there's still tickets left. Plenty of room to dance.
I was going to say, you can't go wrong. It's only 12 quid in advance and 15, mm-hmm. 15 on the door,
yep.
for a whole night of Northern Soul stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. You'll be there, won't you?
Me? I've packed the baggies away.
Well, maybe you could volunteer, Stuart.
My dancing days are, you know.
You could volunteer.
With my
help
knees,
Stuart.
With my knees and back. I'm afraid not.
Okay.
I'll be laid flat out on the couch.
Right.
Oh, no. So a good mix of stuff coming up.
Yep.
And in honour of your 90s hair metal rocking out days, we'll finish with a bit of a classic from Bon Jovi.
Oh, that's good. Which one is it?
Haven't decided yet.
Okay. Surprise me.
I will do.
All right.
Right. We'll see you next time.
You will. We've forgotten where to say, tell people to get tickets from.
Oh, that means
we always do that.
I'm going to have to edit this bit out now.
No, we don't. We don't.
Yeah. I'll see. Right.
Or maybe you should do it. I'll ask you, where can we get tickets?
Online at www.thewitham.org.uk.
Or
from the box office, and you call 01833 631107.
Spoken like a true professional.
Exactly. Will that do you for this week?
That will indeed.
Right, see you next time.
Bye.
So as promised, a bit of Bon Jovi to finish with from the classic album Slippery When Wet, This Is Wanted Dead or Alive, and from Jane and Me. That's it. Cheerio, and we'll see you next time.
It's all the same. Only the
Thanks for listening. We'll be talking Teesdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word. Like, share and subscribe. Or go online to thewitham.org.uk.